All right, welcome to the second day of the teaching on the law of faith. Last week, I began to talk about the law of faith. And let's take a text of the scriptures to start today's discussion. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Genesis chapter 12. I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And it says like this, verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." Now, please, as I'm reading, I want you to notice a particular progression. Let me just point as I'm going on. God started, called Abraham from a particular point. This was in Haran. And Abraham had left with his father, Terah, from the Ur of the Chaldeans. All right? And here, God now called him personally and told him to continue moving. If you read further down, you will find out that God said, "I was the one that brought you out from the Ur of the Chaldeans." Now, there's some reason why I'm explaining this. So now God is talking to him. He now said, "Go forth from your father's house, number one. And number two, you will find a land that I will show you. That's what I want you to have. And in that land, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great." It's a progression of blessing here. And then he said, "You will be so great," at the end of verse 2, he says, "so that you will be a blessing." He said, "In the process of developing these things, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." That's the last point. Now, notice this. There were many things. Abraham was somewhere. God was telling him what he wanted to do in his life and was taking him to a progression of the events that he will experience. And then the last of all, he said, "In you, all the families of the earth will be what? Blessed." I wanted to understand a point here. This is where I started from here. And that is the fact that this is where God was actually going. God was interested in making Abraham happy, but that was not the primary goal. God liked the idea that Abraham would become a great nation and he would feel happy and satisfied in being a great nation. Then, God knew that that was a very good thing. Everybody desired that. That is very good. That was just good, all right, as things happened in the path of the ultimate goal of God in the life of Abraham and beyond the life of Abraham. God was saying, in effect, this is actually where I'm going. I want all the families of the earth to be blessed. Are you getting my point? Now, before I explain this further, I want to quickly open to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. All right, you see, there Paul was explaining something here. He said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith." Or King James says, "Not all." Is it all men do not have faith? Now, please notice that that's just in passing. I just wanted to note that one in passing. Now, the reason why I'm explaining this is this: God is good. Amen. Now, if you believe that, say very loud, "Amen." Amen. God indeed is good, and God loves to bless. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you see that God, Paul explained at the point, that he made his rain and his sun to shine, the sun to shine and the rain to fall, both upon the godly and the ungodly. That's God for you. He likes to bless people. But Paul said it here, that not everybody has faith. Are you getting the point? And this is what I want you to understand. God, knowing that, therefore, when he wants to bless people, he looks for a few people that have faith, bless the world by the spiritual engineering of those people, and then because they are blessed, everybody else, including those that don't have faith, will become blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I like to talk about things that are very relevant. Let's take Nigeria as an example, our country, or whichever country you are listening to this from. Now, or whichever situation you are in, everybody likes to complain. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not everybody will stretch themselves and take the challenge to believe God or go into the depths of their inner part and bring out what God has kept in there for the rest of the earth. Not everybody. But if one person does it, all right, they all come there and partake in it. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you say country is bad, country is bad. If one man gets up and with a group of people of like faith, produce great things and create jobs and improve the society, those who grumbled before will also queue up there to partake of the blessing. You are getting the point. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. God knows that. So that's what he meant when he said that in you will the families of the earth be blessed. God doesn't mind. He didn't mind blessing each individual if they came to him directly. You follow? But because they can't, Paul said, not all men have faith. Therefore, they can't get it out of God directly. But they can see a man that has been blessed by God and queue up and take a job from him. God doesn't mind that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have established before that the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men, which means that God has great things. Like we said, Jesus told them to pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That's what he was saying. That God has a pattern, things that he has designed, kept in heaven. Now, when Moses went up to the mountain with God, God showed him a pattern and told him, go down and create what you saw in the heavens, go and create it on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? God had a design in the heaven, but Moses had to build it on the earth. The thing would not appear by itself. You are following what I'm saying? Therefore, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. So, the things that God wants to do to bless mankind is in heaven. But, if one human being doesn't come and build it on the earth, it will never be done. You are following me? So, I'm trying to explain something here. That is why God looks for men of faith. That's why God looks for women of faith. Somebody who will come to God and bring down something great from the heavens, create it on the earth, then everybody then will be blessed. This appears to me like the most important thing that I always say. See, this earth will never improve by itself. Things don't happen by themselves. People always make them happen. Yes, I know it is God, but I'm explaining that God has to walk through people. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the only people he walks with or through are people of faith. You are following what I'm saying? So with God, the most important thing, that's why you hear Jesus, I said that last week, is always talking about, great faith, little faith, great faith, little faith. Let me explain this to you. Everything extraordinary that will happen on this earth can only be produced by faith. Listen, anybody can have children. All right? The natural order, God has already given a word at the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. So, dogs conceive. Are you getting me? Dogs, goats, sheep, all right? Cows, horses, fish, they lay eggs. They always multiply. They don't require any faith. In the same manner, an average person, all right, can conceive and have any child. That's not a big deal. Except something goes wrong. Are you following me? However, you will see that every time that God wants to give birth to an unusual child, he first discusses with the parents. What I'm saying, is it not true? Now listen to this. Anytime God wants to bring an unusual child to the earth, he must first of all, as a rule, discuss with the parents. When God was going to bring the descendants of this earth being blessed in somebody, first he had to give it to Isaac. But Isaac was actually not the main thing. All right? Paul said that that seed was Christ. So to bring him through the lineage of Abraham, he had to first call Abraham and start discussing with Abraham. I'm trying to bring out a point here. You will see, when he was going to give birth to Jesus Christ finally, why didn't Mary just wake up one morning and say, I've been feeling funny for the last few months and my period has not been coming. What's going on? What? I don't want of those things. And then they start seeing her stomach shoot. What is happening? He said, sorry, I know no man. You know that kind of thing. No, God didn't do that. First and foremost, an angel came, appeared, and said, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. You will bear a child. And she said, what are you talking about? He said, look, don't worry that you don't know any man. He said, the Spirit of God will overshadow you. Now that which will be born will be called the Son of God. And he said that, she now finally said, let it be done to me according to your word. That was faith that could bring Jesus Christ down to the earth. Listen, God had to discuss with Mary. Listen, when he wanted to bring another unusual fellow, John the Baptist, he went to the man. I said it before, that John came by the, look, this is my personal conviction. John came by the faith of Elizabeth, not Zachariah. Zachariah was going to spoil it. But because, you see, Mary wasn't married. That was why God went straight to Mary first. You get the point? But in Elizabeth's case, he went to her husband. I said, oh boy, how far? The guy said, you must be kidding. He said, before you spoil this matter, close your mouth. So, and we're going to talk about it. We're talking about the law of faith. All right? The angel closed his mouth so that he will not, by his mouth, wreck the thing that's about to happen. What am I saying? Before God brings anything extraordinary onto the earth, it must come by faith. So the first thing he does is to discuss with people. And if people don't reach out to God by faith, listen, it will not happen. It's recorded in the heavens. There's no guarantee that it will happen on the earth. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Listen, in every need of a person's life, especially, look, take this childbearing thing in this, in Abraham's case, in Hannah's case, in Elizabeth's case, in Manoah, that's the father of Samson. In everyone, when serious, unusual people were going to be born, he'll first go and discuss with them. Oh boy, we want to give birth to a child. Here, forget. I keep on saying this. Don't think that these people you read about were the only ones that God ever spoke to or sent angels to. Please get this into your mind. Many people he spoke to or sent angels to did not answer the angels, so you never read about them. Do you get my point? There is no proof that Mary was the first choice of God. None. All we know that was the one that accepted. I'm not explaining something. Don't think that whatever God wants to do, he will do it. No. There are things he wants to do. Nobody's agreeing, and he's not doing it. See, I said something, I think it was last week I said it, and let me say it again. Satan doesn't have power to do anything. The only thing that Satan has as power, all right? That's what the Bible calls he that has the power of death. What it means is that when you have been given over to death and destruction, Satan has not acquired power to afflict you. So when God said to Adam that thorns and thistles it shall beget for you, then Satan had power over the ground. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Satan doesn't have any serious power of his own to do anything. The only thing Satan does actually, all right, is to persuade people. I don't know what you get what I'm saying. He will come to Eve. Has God really said, no, don't mind God. God wasn't serious there. It's only when Eve has accepted what Satan says that Satan begins to exert influence in her life. What am I trying to say? Listen, Nigeria, Malawi, whichever country we are talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no real problem in the country. No, listen to this. There is no real problem in your life. Listen to what I'm saying again. There is no real challenge there. What is really happening is that forces are rising up to see the ones you will accept. They are trying to persuade you that nothing for you. If you say nothing for me, that is it. Nothing for you. Satan says, case closed. Let's go to the next guy. Let's go and wreck his life. Listen, we'll see this one as we go on. Because maybe not today, I may not be able to get it today. You will see the issue of the ability to believe, which is what we're talking about, this law of faith. Most of the things that happen in life, what they are doing for people, all right, is crippling their ability to believe God. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said before, every day you hear news, that segment of that road must be dangerous. You know what I'm saying? This afternoon I was driving down. There was no problem on the road. Going back home, because I came here earlier in the day because listen, Mecca and I had to arrange some things. Now, as I was going back, just about an hour ago, to go and freshen up before the meeting, I got the answer. One guy had taken one very nice car, wrecked a whole street light with it, and killed the car there, and the car is hanging. And I said, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? You know, less than 2 weeks ago, one guy still wrapped a very beautiful car there, died inside it, just on the same road, the same segment of the road. Now, what am I trying to say? You see, when you see things like that every day, at the end of the day, each one is trying to tell you stories. Like you heard me make a statement now, that segment of the road must be dangerous. Now, you see, that's a conclusion somebody came to just by seeing things happen twice in about 2 weeks. Then, you know what Satan is trying to do? There are the different ways to respond to that. Me, when I hear it, all right, the Bible says that only with your eye will you behold. That's what the Bible says. So it's okay, I see it, I pass. All right, none shall come near thee. I confess that. All right, because there's a word that God is giving. I told you before, everything in life is speaking. Everything in life is speaking. Those things are uttering their own statements. What are they trying to do? They are trying to instill fear into the hearts of people, thereby exposing you to the next attack in that same segment of the road. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, a young man will see all those things and say, this country is really dangerous. Satan say, you see, it's a dangerous country. It's dangerous to you too. He says, it's true. In fact, you know, you can just die anyhow like this. Man, go just die like that. Satan says, angel of death, mark that guy. Next sin he commits, kill him. Next thing he commits, finish him. Look, were it not for the mercies of God, listen, people will, Satan will don't kill everybody. Yeah, funny what I'm going to say. These are spiritual principles. These are how they work. In the same manner, they say that, look, jobs are hard to find. I told you last week, may God punish you if all you are trying to do in life is to find a job. I know when I say I don't hear the amens. I'm telling you, what are you supposed to do if you have been listening to me? To your dream. Now, everything has stages. There are servants who are servants because they are cursed. There are servants who are servants in training because they have been made for a great place. Paul said it like this, that a hair, when it's yet small, all right, is, does not differ from a servant. Are you getting my point? So the great entrepreneur, the great investor, the great employer of labor, while he's yet small, does not differ from another employee. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? But in his mind, he's a heir of the covenant of God. So he's stepping up to somewhere. So his dream must be that I'm not begging for a job. I'm looking for what? The opportunity. That look, I'm waiting for the opportunity. There's something that God is going to create in my life. That's what I mean by if your desire. I'm not saying don't take a job. But I'm saying, what are you dreaming about? If that's all you are dreaming about, you are subject, you are called neither hot nor cold. And you are not my friend. I have never preached to you. May the Lord do to you as he sees fit. And if you don't like that kind of wahala, please don't come back here next time. If you don't like what I have said, that God will deal with you. If you don't enlarge your visions, just don't come and listen to me. Because it's risky. I said it last week. It's very risky. Please listen to the things I'm saying. And follow it very, very closely. Because anytime God wants to give birth to things that are unusual on the earth, he needs people of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I was saying that Satan, the only thing he tries to do is to persuade people. Is to do what? Persuade people. He uses your experiences that he will tell you that, look, listen, in your whole house, you know, nobody ever had beyond the OND. So what's your problem? Why are you thinking that you can get a degree and have a PhD? And you know, he will sit down, you will lie down and say, see your cousin? The only guy that tried it, you know, that was the day he finally went mental. It's not in your genes. Hi! Then you look at it. So finally, next time they are talking about things that have to do with great accomplishments in the realm of education, you run away. Satan said, that case is closed. Let's look for another life to ruin. How did he do it? He just told you stories of things that happened before. You are following what I'm trying to say? That's what he does. But you know, if you refuse to believe him, now that's another thing. You can't just refuse to say, no, I'm not going to agree. Listen, in life, you make a choice of who to believe. So if you are hearing only one information, you have no choice but to believe that one. I told you that human beings live by faith. Whatever it is, we walk by faith in life. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. You are following what I'm saying here. Now let's get back to something we said last week. You know, we're talking about the law of faith, and I explained, let me emphasize this again, that see, this is what it means when something is a law. What is the law of gravity? In summary, everything that goes up must come down. That's the summary, a simple way to put it. Is that okay? So, once we throw something up, we believe it's going to come down, and it will come down. And the law of faith is like this. Jesus said that if you can believe, everything is possible to him that believes. You read that scripture before? He said, if you can believe. Let's take our text of scripture. The one we read last time, Mark chapter 11. Please, before we leave Genesis chapter 12, don't forget. God's purpose is that in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In fact, the title of my message for today is called, I call it the holiness of faith. The holiness of faith. This is what I mean. Let's quickly read the way we were before. The book of Mark chapter 11. Let's start from verse 21. Or let's just take a preamble, then I jump down. Jesus cursed the tree, we know, and then when Peter saw that it had withered from the roots up, he turned to him and said, Rabbi, look at the tree that you cursed is dead. In verse 22, Jesus now said, have faith in God. He now used that opportunity to begin to teach them the principle of faith here. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, it's a belief that you have received them and they will be granted you. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Quickly go to Matthew chapter 17. I said this last week. I want to bring it back again. Matthew chapter 17. I want to just use that one to prove my point. I'm going to read it around verse 20. Let's see where I'll start exactly. Okay, yeah. This was a situation that some people came to, so the disciples of Jesus for healing. A man came to heal his child, all right? He brought his son, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And then Jesus now finally took care of that, and the demon left. In verse 19, the people now came to Jesus and said, that's disciples, say, why could we not drive it out? Then he now began to teach them again about faith. He said, I just want to read verse 20 to bring out a point here. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that's why you couldn't drive it out. He said, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, I want to understand something here. He told them that faith is something that you have. Now, I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, if you have faith, that is, it is possible for somebody not to have it. I'm trying to bring out a point here. See, I said last week that when Jesus said, believe, it was not an instruction, all right? It was not a commandment. It was a condition. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, he said that, believe that you have received it and you shall have it. What he was saying is that, if you can believe that you have received it, then you will most certainly get it. You can't just make up your mind. That's why a lot of people had a problem with faith. I said last week that there are people who have the works of faith, but they don't have the faith of the works. All right? It's only when works cooperate with faith that results are seen. Now, because a lot of people have preached about faith, and we're going to go along those lines again and explain some things about steps in faith. People think that, okay, just repeat this thing, confess like this, and that's it, it is done. No. The confession must be as a result of having the spirit of faith, like Paul said. Are you getting my point? Now, if somebody has that faith, Jesus said that then to him, nothing that he can believe for will be impossible. Everything that you believe will be possible. Are you getting my point? So that thing was a condition, not a commandment. Jesus was therefore admonishing his disciples that you must build up your faith. I read that Matthew chapter 17 to explain the point that faith is something that you have. So it's either you have it or you don't have it. You don't conjure it up at the last moment when you need to get results. Please, I'm coming to something. I said the title of my message today is what? The holiness of faith. I said something, you know, for about 9 weeks, ending 2 weeks ago, I explained about the pursuit of holiness. Don't forget what I said. I said holiness essentially describes what? Purpose. Purpose. That's what holiness describes. Now, if we are walking in a holy fashion, that is, we have discovered what God wants to do on the earth, and we are doing it with God. And we talked about the threefold purpose of God in life, what he wants to do in your personal life, which we discussed last, then what he wants to do in the body of Christ, this church, through you, and what he wants to do on the earth through you. And today I began to explain that when God wants to bring great things to birth on this earth, he always works with people of faith. You are getting my point. Anybody can have children. But when God wants to bring unusual children, he discusses with the parents. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, anybody can walk to listen, there are countries where company registration is 3 days. All right? You want to register a company in 3 days, it is done. I read all these things in magazines. Where justice is accessible to everybody. Where power never fails. Are you getting what I'm saying? Power never fails. It never fails. Water runs. Just pay your bills. There's no problem. Police takes care of criminals. All right? Anybody can have children under such circumstances. You are getting what I'm saying? You can build any business. You can do anything. But when things are tough, when company registration is 1 year, when you have to use all kinds of ingenuity in your soul to get justice, when you have to provide your own power and your own water, then the child is being difficult to conceive. Are you getting my point? The offspring is hard to bring forth. Because under such circumstances, only men of faith. Are you getting my point? He said, because to them, nothing will be impossible. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know what God is looking for actually? Is the opportunity to create possibilities out of impossibilities. And listen, I'm recruiting for God. You get what I'm saying? My job is to recruit. He says, say to Zion, behold your God. That is my job. I'm recruiting for God. Everybody can hear this and go away and say, oh, good message. Then they just throw it away. But amongst those who are hearing it, God said, there are people who will grab the word and hold it. And you know the interesting part? God is not trying to say, let me see the strong man who can walk. No. He said, let me see the guy who can believe. And when the fellow has believed, then I will walk in that guy's life. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. So the challenge is to build up your faith. Listen. If you wake up every morning, chase your job, chase your business, chase that's all you are doing, you are not a candidate for what I'm talking about. Listen, your primary commitment must to build up your faith. And listen, faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing and hearing. We talked about the double hearing some time ago. That's the way it comes. So this woman who wants to bring forth an unusual child, get my point. What God wants to do is to give birth to Isaac from the wombs of 90-year-old women. You are getting my point. That is, the testimony will be that Elizabeth has passed childbearing. Then God will give birth to a John through Elizabeth. He said, but before I can do that, I only work with people of faith. I told him, I'm recruiting for God. I said something earlier, and I've said it many, many, many times. There is nothing in your background that can tell you what your tomorrow will be. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The only thing is that Satan tries to use it to describe tomorrow to you. So you have your choice to accept it or reject it. Are you following my point? And this is what faith is. Whose report will you accept? Let me put it like that. Isaiah said, who has believed our report? He said, to that person will the arm of the Lord be revealed. It is not to the strong person. No. Are you hearing my point? That this is how God works it. You remember we're talking about the foolishness of preaching? Remember the foolishness of preaching? The foolishness of preaching? We're talking about the pursuit of holiness? We call it the foolishness of preaching. That how will God build? You know, I said something the other time. That when we are talking gospel of Africa, gospel from Africa, I said one day I will put men on the stage. You are getting me? And I will talk and say, okay, so how much did you say you guys dealt in last month? $27 billion. Okay. Now, this guy was telling me that, the networks, you spent how much building it? $15 billion, sir. All right. And you're maintaining it every day with how much? We tell you about $500,000. I said, very, very good. All right. Now, like we explained, you see the principle. Then you turn around, you told me last week that the number of people you've employed has crossed the 100,000 mark. I said, yes, sir. I said, good. Now, these are guys, and yes, sir. That's what they're saying. And they will be watching this from Australia, watching it from North America, watching this in South America. Are you getting my point? But God said, how am I going to produce those in the lives of those people? Nothing. Let them sit and just hear what I'm saying. And then I walk in their lives. How is God going to listen to this? He said, how will it happen? Let me tell you how it will happen. Because you see, let me tell you what faith is. Faith is having an understanding of the possible methods by which God will work. Get what I'm trying to say. That is, you know that something beyond the physical is there controlling the physical events. That's what faith means. That's why he said without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And is actually the one walking in the life of those who is believing him. How will God do it? Let me tell you. Simple. God will create opportunities. Let me explain it simply. I gave an illustration last week. Listen. I said Okocha and Kanu Wanko are not the best players that came out of Nigeria. You will know. Because if they were the best, then the scripture has been defeated. That the battle is not to the strong. Are you getting my point? The race is not to the swift. But what happens? I said there must have been people that will be able to tell you the story, that the turning point in the life of Okocha from Nigeria to international football, that day I was absent. That's why it happened. That is, this coach could pick A or pick B. Listen, Solomon said, this is how it happens. Time and chance happens to all men. Time and what? Chance. Believe me. That is why, look. I have said this again and again. I don't believe in accidents. If my car breaks down on the road, first thing I will do is look to my left and look to my right. Peradventure, it has broken down beside the diamond mine. You get my point? That God wanted to show to me. Then I say, good Lord, what is going on here? Why am I stranded at this particular point? Are you getting my point? Listen, that's why you must every day walk in the mercy of God. Because there's a reason why I'm saying this. It is important that your life is not directed by iniquity. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It is important that judgment for sin is not controlling your life. If you are walking in God's favor, listen, there is nobody on earth. I've read a lot. Listen, I've read Bible. I've read teachings on the Bible. I've read teachings on, there's analysis of teachings of the Bible, you know. People will write books on what E.W. Kenyon said about the word of God. Are you getting me? I've read all kinds of things. And had now one day, a few years ago, began to read books of secular people, you know, Paul Getty, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, all kinds of things. In everyone, each person has pointed to moments of favor. Are you getting what I'm saying? These men who have made it, physically speaking, each one pointed to moments of favor without which they would have died. When time and chance happened to them, and, you know, there's this one I told you I read recently, the richest man in Babylon. The man explained some things that, how did he become very wealthy? He wanted to be wealthy, and he began to labor for it, all right? But the thing that really made him wealthy was that a very wealthy man who was teaching him the principles of business noticed his quest for wealth. You get my point? And saw how he was progressing in learning. So one day he hired him to come and manage his businesses for him, a segment of his businesses, because his own children were not responsible people. Are you getting me? And when the man died, he left a huge chunk of his estate to this young boy. Listen, the guy became very wealthy. But what really broke him into wealth was favor from a man who went before him. Do you get what I'm saying? Why am I explaining all of these things? I am not saying, listen, the Bible said that strangers will build up your walls. Oh my God. You're not hearing me. That is strangers, people you did not know. I said, look, God, the scripture that guided me, that is, I put my mind at rest concerning material things, which makes me never run to and fro like Satan chasing anything. You know what I mean by Satan? From where have you come? From running to and fro. It's because God said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards like a river. And what's the next line? The wealth of who? The wealth of who? The nations. It's not a matter of struggle. I read from the scriptures. We talked about that when we said that Esau saved Jacob. There are people who don't. Bible says there are those that God has given their responsibility to labor, that he might give to those who are pleasing. He didn't say to give to preachers. Anyone who is pleasing in God's sight. Do you know, I was reading that book I told you about, one American billionaire I was reading. He made I finished reading the book, you know, yesterday. And there was something he said that I finally bought my own private jet. And this is the interesting part. I want to use that story to tell you what it means for others to labor, to give to you. This guy is a billionaire. Now, then he was a multi-millionaire. He had a lot of money. But he's a man who doesn't spend money anyhow. That's why one of the reasons why I had a lot of it. So he wanted to buy a private jet, and he saw a Boeing 727. He was reading in the papers about a particular company that was distressed, but the executives were very responsible, and they were living lavishly. And they had changed the management, so he knew that. Now, in that company, they bought a 727. All right? Now, this plane can seat 200 people. Are you getting the point? But they converted it so that he sat only 15. To let you know the amount of luxury they put into it. They had bedrooms, you know, everything was in there. The plane could only take 15. Meanwhile, the commercial version seats 200. And a brand new one was being sold for $30 million. When I read that part, I called my wife and said, how much is 30 million in Naira again? The man said, when he read it, after I read about the company, he knew that, this plane will be up for sale. So he called the new MD of the company, the new president, and said, how are you guys doing? I think he said, I'm just wondering whether that plane is not for sale. Of course. The guy said, yes. One of the first things I want to do as a new man in charge is to get rid of that piece of luxury. We don't need it. He said, fine. How much do you want for it? The guy said, how much are you offering? The guy said, look, typically, I go low on such things. They want to sell it. So he offered, now, a plane that's brand new, $30 million, he offered them $5 million. The man said, no, that's too low. Finally, he said in his mind. So the guy just said, okay, is it 12? He said, he told himself that no matter how this turns out, I've gotten a good deal. He finally bought it for $8 million. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That company, they labored for him and essentially dashed him 20-something million U.S. dollars. He said, whether I need the plane or not is irrelevant. I never let a good deal pass me by. Yeah, you can call it luxury. He said, my God, this is a good deal. Now, that's how strangers build up your walls. You are getting my point. I'm saying these things to let you know that God said, listen, there are things I have kept I want to convert into the hands of people. Banking recruits people for me. Are you hearing me? I am not saying be smart. I am not saying work hard. I'm not saying rise up early. It's vain, the Bible says, to wake up too early. It's a bad thing. I don't care the gospel you want to preach. Anything more than praying all night, you know, like Jesus will pray all night to recoup some spiritual energy. Eh? Apart from that, please, it's a waste of time. There's no business you are doing. Are you following what I'm saying? God said, what am I asking you to do? Believe. I told you before, you know, when I say this is in person, don't ever forget it. They are important. I gave you an assignment. I said every night, lie down and dream stupid dreams. You know what I mean by stupid dreams? Things that greatest men, physically speaking, Nigeria right now, have never conceived. Settle down and dream it. Look, I'm a preacher, so I've given myself assignment. Anytime I watch TV now, as they are showing a preacher, I'm checking how the angle they shot him from, the auditorium they are shooting. That's what I'm thinking about. Even if you are talking nonsense, I'm looking at your pulpit. What does it look like? You getting me? I want to see how I'm going to do my own things differently, you know? Recently, I confirmed again that TBN spends $600,000 on a daily basis to keep TBN in the air. Did you hear what I said? $600,000 daily. Daily. To keep TBN on the air. Daily. On a daily basis. 600. That is, in 2 days, $1.2 million is dead. When I say things like that, I say, good. Great dreams. God didn't say, look for how you raise money. He never said, look at how you raise money. He said, only believe. You get what I'm saying? Only believe. Nothing will be impossible to that fellow who believes. Listen, God doesn't do extraordinary things. If you see people saying that things work here, I told you that anybody can achieve. Goats get pregnant. You know, goats don't intercede. They don't pray. Okay, maybe the owner is praying. What about the antelope in the bush? And they're born regularly, per se, they know they waste time. Because God has said, be fruitful and multiply. I'm saying that when difficult situations come up, when you have to conceive children in the midst of barrenness, God said, we don't do such things lightly. You must first hear a word. And the child that will be born must be an unusual child. Do you get the point I'm making? Therefore, if an unusual situation is going to be overcome, you follow what I'm saying? So that great and unusual things might come out of it, then it's only open to those who are of faith, not to those of learning. The greatest industries in Nigeria will be built by those who never went to Harvard anything. Let me explain it. It's crucial to God. If I say this, it might sound funny, but I should say it. It came to my mind. I believe the Spirit of God. There are people that opportunity to go to Harvard will open, reject it. I'm not saying everybody. There are certain people. If I'm talking to you, we know it. God goes, hey, if you take it, there's certain. I need to make a point, which I can't make from Harvard. Now, that's not for everybody, because that's like a Riemann word. You get my point? It doesn't apply in every situation. But there are people that God says, listen, I need to make a point. I can't make it if you have your MBA from Harvard. That is a natural advantage. We spoil things for me there. You are getting the point I'm making. You see, he said it had to be by faith that he might be in accordance with grace. There are things that God will reject, will refuse to do until it is clear that it is by faith. Look, we've been discussing Abraham on Mondays. Abraham, God called him, not knowing much. Then God began to train him in faith. We've explained that one. Last Monday, I began to speak because I told myself, this is a Saturday message. We are talking about one of the laws of faith, because we know we're talking about the law of faith, all right? Inside it, there are many principles. One of the things that God used to teach Abraham It's very good. In fact, let's. I think it's a good time to look at that. Quickly, let's get back to Genesis. A very good time to look at that. After Lot separated from Abraham, Genesis chapter 13, from verse 14, said, the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord has separated from him, he said, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. He said, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. He said, arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Now, I want you to understand something here. I told you before that God, we read it when we started, that God had his, he was going somewhere in the life of Abraham. And he said that, where are we going? In you, all the nations of the earth, the families of this earth, they will be blessed. He said, that's how much blessedness I will pour inside you. Are you getting me? Now, but that's a statement of intent. It's a statement of intent. You haven't really committed to anything. You have just said what you want to do. Are you getting me? Now, what am I trying to say? God had described to Abraham what he wanted to do. What he was saying is, walk before me and be perfect. Then we will get there. If you don't walk with me, if you don't follow my instructions, we can't get there. Let me say this thing again. No. There is no proof that God only said that to Abraham. He probably said it to one or two or three people before him. Are you getting me? And they did not hear it. You know, I said something when we're discussing. If you have not been coming for a school of my Bible exegesis on Mondays, you did miss more, all right? Those of us who have been around, you know, we learn some things. One of the things I said then is that the record you find in the book of Genesis, Paul said that to them was committed the oracles of God. Now, you see, the record in the book of Genesis were written to get to Abraham. From Genesis 1 to 12, everything that was being recorded was drawing the line down to Abraham. Everything. If it was far removed from Abraham, nothing much was said about it. Do you understand what I'm going to say? The fact that God gives somebody a statement of intent doesn't mean that God will carry it out, except the person agrees to walk with God. That's the point I'm making from all this I'm saying. And that the reason why you read about Abraham is because he agreed to walk with God. God probably called somebody else before that, and the person just died. Maybe it was Terah God called first, and Terah God just killed him in Haran and left and called him one of his children. You are getting the point I'm making? So it's so crucial that it's an exercise. Paul said you have to fight. It's a fight. Are you getting my point? You have to fight the good fight of faith. Because God requires people to bring down events to this earth for him. When he called Abraham, that's what we're trying to read. Abraham didn't know everything. All right? God now began to show him the laws of faith. That if you are going to get to the place of fulfillment concerning the things I have said, then you have to go in a particular fashion. One of the first things you have to learn is, one, how to look even when you don't have the ability. Do you get what I'm saying? So he told Abraham, get up and look as far as you can see. I said on Monday that let's talk about contemporary things again. Things that we were talking about, business, the men behind me. I mustn't forget that vision. All right? Even if I forgot it, it will come to pass. I've said it. Do you get what I'm saying? The men behind me on gospel from Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, he said, okay, if I'm going to be one of those men, how's it going to be? God said to Abraham, good, it's going to be by faith. I should start connecting. He said, no, you don't need connection to human beings. You just need to hold on to a word. Do you understand? So how do we go about it? He said, first, start looking. What is the field that I've already exposed you to? Because one of the things that God does is to expose you to things you did not even know existed. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, yes, you didn't know you could do this. God just plants you there, gives you a job there. That's it. Suddenly you begin to find skill and ability inside you you did not know was available. You are following me? So God exposed Abraham to a particular place. And I said, start looking. So wherever it is, either you have a skill there or God has exposed you there, God says, start looking. As far as you can see. Occasionally, spend money. Buy one of these business papers. Read about the billionaires from Russia. Do you get my point? Read about the ones from Thailand. The man who rears only chicken. Read about the ones from India. And realize that they had democracy worse than Nigeria has right now. Read about it. Because that's how your eyes begin to look. He said, as far as you can what? See. I have realized this. There is no challenge in life, really, that can stop a man or a woman from achieving in life, except that it manages to persuade him or her that she can't. Do you get what I'm saying? I was reading a story of Robert Kiyosaki, man, about when he wanted to launch into a particular realm of business. First bank he went to that he should come and finance the business. They said no. Second one said no. Third one said no. Fourth one said no. Fifth one said no. But you see, in his mind, that business is not going. Look, you guys, one way or the other, will get the money. So for now, all I know is to approach banks for finances. So every time they tell him no, he will call the people and say, why did you say no? Because those guys work like machine. They say, you didn't follow this rule, follow this rule. I say, okay, fine. Next one is going to adjust it. They are all banks. They have the same, the same ideas. Finally, he had polished everything. So one guy looked and said, oh, this is good, and said yes. You know what Satan tries to do? First one says, why do you want to embarrass yourself? Are you getting me? You know, no doesn't kill. No is no. I've read many people. They said the worst thing, in fact, I like one thing Donald Trump said about Jimmy Carter. He said when Jimmy Carter approached him after he stopped being president to come and donate to his library fund. And he said, how much money are you looking for? He said Jimmy Carter said $5 million. Now, to Donald Trump, that was an obscene amount to ask for as donation. He said, I was so shocked I did not answer him. He said, but that explains to me why the man became president. He was never afraid to ask for anything. This is his own estimate, too. I'm not saying I agree with him. If I had read Billy Graham's account of his first encounter with Jimmy Carter, he said, this guy was a farmer from, I don't know who the state is from. So he met him one day. He was in a car. Billy Graham was at the back. Somebody was driving. And there was another funny-looking guy in front. And the guy turned to him and said, he's Jimmy Carter that's planning to go for president. And he looked at the man. He felt like laughing. Donald Trump said, the guy was not qualified to be president. That's in his own estimate. He said, but the guy was never afraid to ask for anything. So he asked for the presidency and he got it. I'm saying that challenges in life, what they do is to explain to you, you shouldn't ask. Do you understand my point? They explain to you that, no, don't ask. You know you have failed before. You say, eh? If you fail again now, you know your name will be failure. Ah! But I told you, to succeed with God in life, you must not love your life unto death. Listen, in life, it's good to be disgraced early in life. It's good to be embarrassed as a young man. I was into Ken Hagen yesterday and he said something I laughed. He said, talk about being laughed at. I've been laughed at by experts. Because where people said that the maximum money we have ever given to a preacher in a week is $90. He said, don't worry, I am going to get $300. And we're going to talk about the law of faith. He told the preacher, don't see anything. Don't believe God for it. Don't see anything about it. But please, just don't run your mouth negatively about it. He said, put your car in neutral, then I can pull it. He said, I will exert the energy, I will drag it. I was listening to, he was talking about not worrying, you know, casting your cares upon the Lord. In those series. And inside there, he talked about how people laughed at him. That just by the way. But what they were laughing at him about, he finally got. But let me just say this before I leave there. It's good to be disgraced early in life so that you will not fear disgrace again. Do you understand my point? It's good for people to laugh at you now because that way, you say, I will look stupid. You know you have already looked stupid. Do you understand my point? And let me tell you about human beings. They can easily forget. If a man ran naked on the road today, that is stark naked, that is he removed his cloth and ran on this road, let him drive that same road tomorrow in an S600. They will be shouting Babake. Then all the explanations he gave them for why he was naked, they will believe it. He said, that day, hey, they were beating me, some people here, and they wanted to keep me. I had to run. There was no time to wear my clothes. So I ran and said, poor guy. Oh, wow, now how far? Hey, give me your phone number. I should call you once in a while. You're looking at this guy. You want to call him once in a while.
Human beings easily forget. So the place you have been laughed at and been disgraced is good. At least you have gotten used to the fact that what's the big deal about it? Are you getting the point I'm making in life? So God is saying that, look, I am not saying who is the fellow that has the ability to do this thing. I am saying who is the person, the law of faith number one, who can look when he has no ability. Are you getting my point? Who can dare to look? Please, I have begged you before. Deliver yourself from the cult of poverty. You know, we masses, may God remove two of your front teeth if you utter those words again, we masses, and you have been listening to me. You think I'm joking? Now, dentists go, who come back for you? There is, how can you be masses? You. After all the word of God you have heard, you masses. We are just suffering in this country. Listen, I told you there are two kinds of servants. There are servants that are cursed. Therefore, he said to Ham, to Canaan, he said, there's a servant of servants, will he be? That's a cursed servant. But there is a champion that is yet young. Therefore, he doesn't differ from a servant. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Therefore, he said, we are suffering. He said, wait, I am being trained. Who is the we that is suffering in this country? I am being touched with the feeling of their infirmities. Because I have to be a high priest. Do you get my point? Who can download blessings for people? Therefore, I have to understand what they are suffering. I have said one of the major problems with people who have ruled in Nigeria till now is because they have not felt, like talking about justice and crime control and all of that. How can you be in a country and that the police, they don't have good communication? You can't do policing in this world without good communication. But the people who make the policies, they all go around with mopo, so they don't understand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Nobody defrauds him. If a man defrauds him, he reports to the commissioner and he gets justice by force. He's not touched with the feeling of the infirmities of the average person on the street. That is why God has not made you influential. It is important that you are harassed. You don't get what I'm trying to say. It is important that you have been harassed. So that when he gives you power, you use it to stop harassment of innocent people. Your house caught fire, and you phoned the fire service. I said, there is no water. Sorry, the spare tire just went flat. And your house burnt. It's good. When you become an influential person, then fire service will work. The president was analyzing once that the budget of the New York City fire department per annum is $10 billion. Now, get my point. I didn't say New York State. I didn't say New York City budget. I said the fire department of New York City, they have a $10 billion US dollars annual budget. We are getting there. I always say this is for you to know that we are getting there. He said, it looks so glorious. Listen, that was how tall the giants also looked when the Israelites got to the promised land. But God said, the only way you get it is to look. So I have to tell you things that you should look at now. Today as I was driving, I was going home to go and get ready for the meeting. Something came to my mind. I said, God, as I was taking a turn there, something happened in my mind. I said, God, please, help me never to respect money. Help me never to be afraid of spending it. You know what I'm saying? He said, let's do this. Very good. Let's do it. He said, it's $10 million. He said, we're not doing it again. We're not doing it again. You're afraid of money. That's what I'm trying to say. I said, God, there's something happened. I said, God, please help me. Let me never be afraid. What am I saying? Open your eyes. Look. Because if you don't look, you won't get anywhere. I am telling you that this law of faith, this principle of faith about looking, it is not to the man who has the ability to acquire. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was to the person who is ready to let God help him. You know, as I was meditating, I realized that actually in life, faith is almost natural, in quote. Solomon said, God has made every person upright, but he sought out many devices. So I said, actually, the reason why people don't have great faith is because they have obstructed the movement of faith. Are you getting my point? Therefore, as we go on, we will examine the things that people do that obstruct the movement of the faith that God has actually placed in their heart. No, Satan blinds them. He does. Problems don't let them see. That's one of the things. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, there was something I was saying, I think, was it on Monday or last Saturday? I think it was on Monday. I'm talking about Thanksgiving. I said, one of the things you have to learn, is that, you know, some people are so used to problem that if God gives you money, you are looking for where is the problem he says I should solve. There is no problem. God said, go and enjoy you and your friends. The man looks and says, 5,000 naira. You never can tell. You keep for the rainy day. So God said, is that so? Okay. Rainfall. The guy said, you see, I told you that it's my train. Thank God we didn't spend it. You don't understand. God said, if you had done what I said you should do, this rain would not have fallen. You are getting what I'm going to say? So this idea of look is not for those who have the ability. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you see, my father has promised me that in his will he's going to leave me $100 million. So like Pastor Banky said, so what I'm going to do now is that I'm going to begin to think, no. I'm talking about you leave school. You check your pocket. Nothing. Check this other one. Empty. Check this one. Nothing. He said, good. Good place to start. He said, now that we don't have anything, we can dream big. Because when we have something small, it has the ability to restrict our dream because we keep on looking at the size. So now that we are starting from zero, so I look and say, Yes. When we are finished building the power company, the productive power company of Nigeria, that's PPCN, all right? Not the power holding, you know, like the power releasing company of Nigeria, PRCN. We'll wire it like this, we'll do like this. Then we'll have a special, just be dreaming. Say, oh boy, what is happening? He said, we're dreaming. God said, we have to look northward. We have to look southward. We have to look eastward. And we must look westward. He said, after that, you begin to walk around. Do you understand what I'm saying? You begin to walk around. What do you mean by walking around? And I said, job opening. Come on, they are giving job. Maybe Zenith is now recruiting because they are expanding. They say, no. Power holding company is recruiting. Let's go and see what they are actually doing inside there, why things are not working. That's, you are beginning to do what? Walk. Because he told me, look at what he said. Verse 17. Arise, walk about the land. When you are walking about, if your feet large, you are size 6, 46. How much can you cover? Not much. So what God is saying, be taking small steps and just be exercising it. How do you walk? Take 100 naira today, buy 200 naira, buy business financial standard, business day. And read. He said, you are reading business day. He said, you're a big man. He said, amen, you're in the spirit. He doesn't know that the business day was bought with your last 200 bucks. Do you get my point? Then one day you buy, he said, what is that one? He said, that is Forbes. Or you buy one, he said, how much is it? I buy 1,005. 1,005, you get money. Oh, yes, a prophetic getting money. Amen. He said, you get money. Yeah, it's prophetic. You claim it. One of them say, you're a big man. Stop rejecting it. People say, you're a big man. Say, what's me? I'm a big man. Small me. You don't. There are things you don't hear from my mouth. Say, you're a big man. Say, you're in the spirit. For you to look at me and say, I'm a big man, then your eye is seen. God has anointed your eyes. You can see. I'm telling you the truth. You must walk with it. You are seen when you don't yet have the ability to acquire. That's the first law of faith. Then you begin to take little steps walking around. When you don't yet have the ability to buy one plot that is that square foot that your leg is, if your feet are on, you can't buy it yet. Why are you doing it? He said, because God said, if I can see it, he will give it to me. How will he give it? Let me give you, I believe this is a prophetic word. How will he do it? It's simple. Time and chance will begin to happen to you. Opportunities will begin to be created from the most unlikely places. I told a friend of mine, he told me once, he just said, Banky, I sent 10,000 naira to your account for, he said, towards paying that's Kingdom World rent for this year. I said, very good. He said, I'll give you the gist later. When they came, he said, you know what happened? I was in my house, my phone rang. And one of the biggest men in Nigeria said, hello, am I talking to so-and-so person? He said, yes. My name is this. He said, he was surprised, like, what? how did you get this phone number? He was sitting at home, and time and chance began to happen to him. How did that time and chance begin? This was what happened. The big man wanted to do a project. He needed to have some proper documentation. Who will do this documentation? He talked it to one the head of a major subsidiary of one of the top two banks in Nigeria. And the man said, for such paperwork, I know one guy who can do it honestly with integrity. Let me give you his number. Do you understand what I'm going to say? I'm letting you know that God is setting... Look, you know the interesting part? I believe very strongly that the angels have been set in proper places. I was listening to Miles Monroe 2 days ago. He said that there are two angels that follow people everywhere. He said one is called goodness, the other is called mercy. They said, what? It's true. Yes, they're possibly angels. No, Miles Monroe said they are angels. That goodness is the name of an angel, mercy is the name of another one. So that's why David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. You're not getting the point. That is, favor is a force. Favor is not a passive thing. It's a spiritual force. That when God wants to bring something to you, he commands the angels of favor to go and create it. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, anyone, look, faith is not like, I close my eye. No. Faith is to have basic understanding of spiritual machinations. That's all. Do you get what I'm going to say? I mean, it was not by faith that Rahab preserved herself and her family. What specialty did she do? Rahab. She had been hearing, and we're going to talk about that further. She had been hearing that these people are dangerous. Their God is terrible and mighty. He said, all right. And they are camping. They are about to come to your city. She said, no problem. We are waiting. Rahab couldn't fight. Couldn't do anything. When the people came, he said, how far now? How are you guys doing? You want a place to stay? Come and stay here. They're running after us. They want to kill us. They want to kill you. Good. Let me hide you here. That is, all I need is for your God to show me favor. You are getting the point. How he was going to do it, he didn't understand. He said, well, hide here. He said, did you see those guys? No, they didn't come near here. Check the other rooms. Maybe they went to the other harlots. Not here. After they left, he said, so this one that's happened now, what did your God go do for me? What I wanted to say, she understood that their God had ability. That's all. So she took a risk because she believed that their God had ability. So people say, okay, take this red rope. Make sure you hang it there. We'll talk to Joshua and you will be preserved. When the angels sank the walls, all right, they first cracked it along the edges where her building, where her own house was, and sank the rest of the wall her own stood. What did she do? Nothing. She just said that these people, their God can. Therefore, let me do something to make the man, their God, want to help me too. What am I going to say? Faith is not a big thing, one long big grammar. No. Faith is just to understand that, listen, physical things don't control everything. There is a God in heaven. Are you getting my point? And his feet stretched down to the edge. You know what that means? That is, his influence is felt on this earth. So David said it like this. He said, who do I have in heaven but thee? And upon this earth I desire no other man. That is, once I have God in heaven, I know his influence is around and it can cause anything to happen at any time. Listen, that's how it's going to happen to you. The angels, listen. The angels of favor, goodness, mercy, they have been stationed. I believe very strongly they have been stationed. They are waiting for command. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In life, there's no accident. There's no accident. Even when they are doing glow promo. Are you getting my point? 10 million people buy a recharge card. They win one car. That one car was not an accident to that person. God gives it to people for many reasons. There are those that God gives it to as a blessing. Say, be blessed. There are those that God wants to use to show to them why they will never be rich in life. Just let me give him this car. Let's see what he's going to do. There's no chance in it. Pastor Mike, you say we should be buying glow? No. Listen, if you are using glow, buy their card. If God wants to direct the motor to you, it will get to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are not using it before, don't because of that start buying their car. Their card. He said, what if God decides he wants to give me this? How it will happen? One day, are you hearing my point? MTN will go off air and you will need to make a crucial call. Then you will buy a glow card and buy a SIM card and a line and a recharge card. You will load it. That will be the winning one. if God wants to do that. Are you getting my point? I'm trying to bring out the point. There's no chance in this life. Miles Monroe said, goodness is an angel. And mercy is an angel. That goodness and mercy, they follow me all the days of my life. You know, I said before, I used to wonder that this David self, I thought the man was very strong. After all, Joab was very strong. All those men around David, talk about the mighty men of David, and all of them were surrounding David. So I said, therefore, David must be their champion, stronger than them all. Then I realized it's not true. It is not true. When David appeared, he was a fine boy. That fine boy was not a compliment. It was like, see, this boy just fine, paperless. The boy just fine. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what was there. But because God anointed him, he said goodness and mercy. So what did goodness and mercy do? Goodness and mercy will go to the house of Joab and say, Joab, come, go and support that guy. Are you getting my point? He will go to the house of Abishai and say, come, go and support that guy. All the strong men, all of them will come and say, sir, anything for you, sir. Anything for you, sir. And the small man will be strolling down, surrounded by giants. You know, big and mighty strong men. So David will say, cut down one's neck. You know, all David needed to do to cut a man's neck was to do it like this. He didn't have to raise a hand. Just say, Joab, you are dead. That is, there is no... Hey, Jesus. That is, they subjected their strength to him. That's how faith works. You are getting me? So Jesus said, this is a challenge. If you can believe. I said I was talking about the holiness of faith. In fact, let me see what I have time. Yeah, I have a few minutes just to... Because I have derailed from that entirely. But this is what I wanted to make. About the holiness of faith. When God began to teach faith in the body of Christ in modern times, that I'm aware of, people misunderstood what faith was for. Let me say this and I'll close. So when people learned about faith, what did they learn about faith? They learned that I can have a new car. I can have a new pair of shoes. And people come to church and give testimony and say, praise God, praise God, praise God, I bought a new pair of shoes. Is it not true? It is possibly true. All right? But you know the interesting part? Go and read the scriptures well. You will find out that the people that God really discussed matter of faith with, God wasn't trying to give them shoes. Shoes were by the way. Like Abraham. Abraham became very rich, but that was by the way. Even the birth of Isaac was by the way. Where were we going? Blessedness so great that the families of the earth will be blessed. That is, God was teaching us faith so that we may serve the purpose of God. If all your faith ever produced for you is a good wife, a good car, good children, a good house, you actually have scored like 15% in the score sheet of faith. You don't know jack. God said, you know, I do those things for you along the line so as not to distract you. What is your faith supposed to produce? And that's why I'm talking about this issue of looking far beyond. All right? What common people can see? Looking as far as you can see. God said, what I want your faith to do is to deliver an unusual child. To bring to birth a power-releasing company. You're getting what I'm saying? Not power-holding one. To bring to birth, you know, the Bible, when it was talking about the kingdom of God, it says, like a seed that a man plants. It said, the mustard seed, that is, the seed is small, among the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, it comes out among the biggest of all trees, and many birds of the air, they come and find their shade therein. When Daniel was going to interpret that dream, actually that quotation from the mouth of Jesus was from the story of Daniel. When Daniel was going to interpret that dream to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar said, I saw a tree. This is how it was luxuriant. And all the birds of the air were finding shade in it. Daniel said it like this. He said, that tree is you, king. He said, you have become so great, so mighty, that you cover many people. Are you getting my point? The economy of Babylon prospers because of you. Many people find jobs because of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the birds is talking about people who need shelter, who need a good job, who need to be able to be productive in life so as to help their families, help their children. I was reading Thessalonians just now, and Paul was emphasizing to these people, the Thessalonians, because those guys were really about. He was trying to explain to them why they needed to be productive. So God said, look, listen, this is where they will start from. I told you that there are different kinds of servants. There are called servants and there are heirs in training. Some of them are heirs in training. God said, create something where I can train them as servants. Are you getting my point? Said, that is what I want your faith to do. As for marrying good wife, having good children, buying car, building house, those are fringe benefits of working with God. In fact, God commanded, it's interesting, Jesus said like this, don't pray about them. He said, Pastor Bank, what did he say? He said, it's only Gentiles that give offering for their car. When they go to the temple, they kill the goat. Hey, all the poverty in this house, with this goat, all you gods. He said, that's Gentiles. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. That is, all these things are additions. They are not subjects of prayer meetings. Do you understand my point? You want to know the subject of prayer meeting? Breaking the backbones of principalities and powers and wicked spirits in the air that hold nations in bondage. You want to know the subject of prayer meeting? Causing your own heart to be able to believe God properly. That's what you pray about. I'm telling you the truth. That is, when you want to pray, look, what God wants to do is not, okay, yes, see that boy, I give him a car. See that girl, I give him a house. I give her a house. He's an I give her a visa. Hey. Because me? Do you think that's the kind of thing I have to do? You know, I give it to them, I know. But it's not a subject of meeting, of testimony. Are you getting me? What is subject of testimony? Look at testimonies in the Bible. Samuel came to Saul. He said, were you not small in your own eyes, yet God made you king? Aha! That is a testimony. When David was going to dance before Michael, and Michael was angry, why are you dancing so much? He said, was I not a shepherd boy? And God made me king in place of your father. So much that the people of Israel testified that, David, if you die, the lamp of Israel has been quenched by your death. So please don't die now. That is the reason why this nation prospers. They were telling him, it's because David is the king. So he was explaining that that is what God has done for me. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So when God was teaching faith, yes, he allowed those little elementary things, but he said, guys, time to step up. He said, as for your food, don't worry about it. I'll take care. As for your water, those are common things. The birds of the air don't exercise faith, but they never produce anything outstanding. That I lavish so much money on flowers that live 24 hours. Because the Bible says that Solomon in all of his glory was not as well dressed as one of his flowers. You are getting the principle. He said, but I want unusual things to be done on earth. Men, women raised up in difficult situations. I want them to arise and let me walk in their life. He said, all right, look, you know what faith is? Just do these small, small things. Say, what am I supposed to do? He said, look, start imagining. Look, there's one movie in my house, the children in the cartoon, you know, The Prince and Pauper. Tom Canty. So Tom Canty, ever since he was a little boy, always dreamed of being a prince. So when he and his children, his friends are playing, he'll be playing the prince. He will sit down on one stone as his throne and may say, hey, you, return the apple. And you shall offer up half of the apple for his just and generous return. I've watched it so much, you know, I have children in the house. And then the father will come. Tom Canty, playing a prince again. You're a papa. You should get used to being a papa. Nothing good happens to papas. That's Cockney for popper. You understand my point? Yeah, popper. That's what I was trying to say. But Tom Canty told his sister, I know one day something special is going to happen to us. It's a cartoon, but there's a story in it. What's God trying to say? Sit down and play the entrepreneur. In your mind, hire people and fire them. Plan pension scheme. Health insurance for your staff. You are still looking for a job yourself. Yes, sir. But be planning it. It's as far as your eyes can see. Are you getting my point? It's as far as what your eyes can see. And Jesus said, if you can believe, nothing will be impossible to anyone that believes. Let me close my message with a short statement. All right, just to explain something. I can't tell you step one, step two, step three on believing. No. I'll just tell you many of the laws of faith, and listen to this. As you hear me, listen.
as you hear me, faith is being imparted into your heart. We discussed the foolishness of preaching 2 or 3 weeks ago. There's no method to believe. God is not a God of methods. It's a God of relationship. Are you getting my point? As you relate with him, the spirit of faith rubs off on you. Paul said it's a spirit. It rubs off as you relate with God by his word, with a primary attitude of what I call the double hearing. That what is that primary attitude? That is, I'm hearing to imbibe. This morning I was listening to T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes said, I never study to preach. I said, I'm a man of like movements. He said, I never study to preach. He said, I go into the word of God to find food. When I have been fed, I share the leftover with you. It's not really a matter of leftover. It's a matter of that which I have digested, which has blessed me. Paul said that with the same comfort with which I have been comforted, I comfort those who have been similarly afflicted. You are getting my point? That is, I said this in something last year, many episodes ago on our radio broadcast. I said, it's not possible to listen to me and be afraid. That once you tune into radio 8:30 p.m. every Monday with an attitude of hearing, all right, your heart can never fear for the future. It's not because you won't even know what I said. You just notice that you used to walk around like this before, then your shoulder, you know, straightens up, and you have this hypomanic smile on your face. For medical people, you understand what I'm saying? You're walking on the road, you're just smiling. Say, that guy, don't be crazy. Yes. I said, when you see crazy people, it's one of two things. They're either mentally having problems, or they are people of faith. The two of them, they behave alike. You won't know when it happens. You'll just be going on the road. You'll just be smiling. Say, why are you smiling? You won't know. Say, why are you smiling? You start laughing. Say, why are you? You're just happy. You're just happy. You don't know why. You're just happy. That's what the Bible calls spirit. It has been transmitted into you. Do you get my point? Listen, let me say it again. I'm recruiting for God. Anybody that will believe, Jesus said, it's not possible for you to fail in life. It's not possible. I told you that people die suddenly when they are not really going anywhere. In reality, in the realm of the spirit, they are not going anywhere. That if you believe, you don't have to pray for long life. Long life. You didn't hear what Miles Monroe said? He said, goodness is an angel. And mercy is an angel. There's another angel called long life. Go and rejoin her. You understand the power of those spiritual things. There are angelic spiritual beings that go around ministering a kind of aura around you. That's why God told the children of Israel, he said, my angel will go in front of you. That is, anybody who stands, when he's coming, the person is in trouble. You are getting my point? Let me close. Before I close, let me tell you again. You will live long. Amen. You will not die young. Amen. You will not fail. Amen. And listen, you will give birth to something unusual in this generation. Come on, bow your heads and begin to give the Lord thanks.